I was giving a lot to other people's kids, which that is the nature of the job, but it was taking energy and focus away from my kids, which part of me leaving, what a big reason of me leaving was just I needed to shift the focus back to them.
All right, welcome to the show where we dive in on relationships, love, lust, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, pretty much anything and everything. It all relates, it all matters. If you're checking us out here on YouTube, I would appreciate if you guys can subscribe, hit that notification bell button, let us know that you are a part of the tribe. If you're listening to on Spotify or iTunes, leave us a review. Leave us a nice little kind review and it helps other people get their eyes and ears on this show, because you know we're trying to provide some value here, and that's all we're trying to do. So this conversation I'm excited for. I have my good friend Justin, and we're going to talk a lot about everything. Actually, he's got a pretty full life, as I was saying earlier, and we're going to dive deep on that. But man, how you been doing? How's the family during this quarantine? How's everything on your end over there?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob. I really appreciate it. Excited to do a little bit of a deep dive with you. Things from my end are going well. I can only sort of speak from my experience, and but we're really enjoying this time, this opportunity. We're, you know, doing things that we enjoy and that we value, taking more time for our wellness, spending time together as a family, and just passing the time doing things that are important to us.
So you got two kids, right? How old are they? Just refresh my memory. I forgot.
Tyler is 9 and Kiana is about to turn 7 in a couple months.
Oh, okay. Happy early birthday to Kiana. So one boy, one girl. It's like the atomic family. you guys kept them close in age, actually. Was that planned?
The plan always was to have two, and I think it was just that natural kind of rhythm where, you know, with Tyler obviously was, we had him probably about a year into being married, and Kiana sort of, after we got settled, right, where you start to get some semblance of sleep back, it's like, you know what, how can I turn my life upside down again and have a second one? But it was just kind of a natural rhythm, right?
That's awesome. Do they get along, or are they at each other's necks at this quarantine, or what? For the most part, are they good? Are they good with each other?
Yeah, you know what? They are great kids. Like anything, like any parent, you have those moments where they are shining angels, and then there's other times where they're like any other kid, right? They bicker, they argue over silly things, and you really just try to use it as a time to, you know, teach and coach them a little bit about how to be kind to each other. But a blessing in disguise, really, as I was mentioning to you on our last conversation, being away and traveling as a family, the four of us in Southeast Asia for a couple months, really prepared us well for this quarantine time, in the fact that we were so used to the four of us being together 24/7 that, you know, it's not anything different for us, right? We've been together every day since the end of January. So it's just really the status quo for us.
That's interesting. So for those of you guys tuning in, I guess you spent about 15 years in the education industry as a teacher, correct? Mm-hmm. It was about, so talk to us a little bit about that journey and how that kind of affected the family. I mean, like one angle that I like to kind of go down is, you know, your kids, obviously, you know, they love you, they look up to you, but then do you have to wear the dad hat, or do you wear the teacher hat, or do you wear both, and do they kind of roll your eyes at you and that kind of thing? And, you know, so let's start there, and then we'll talk about the journey that got into the whole teaching industry.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that was an amazing, 15-year journey. gave me lots of amazing experiences. I got to work with lots of amazing colleagues, a lot of amazing young people. For me, yeah, it was a bit of a, it was great in the fact of I really got to work every day with 14 to 18 year olds. So it was really great insight into, it sort of allowed me to get like a glimpse of what it's going to be like parenting my kids in a few years, right? When they turn into teenagers. Cause as again, I don't know about you, but I was I didn't make the best decisions at all times as a teenager. So it sort of just allowed me to gain some tools of how to have conversations at a level to where, you know, teenagers start to understand. So yeah, there are definitely times where my kids roll their eyes at me and I probably speak at a level to them sometimes where, you know, I'm expecting too much out of a 9 and a 6 year old. But yeah, so it's been a great journey that way. But probably the biggest challenge for me was it's a job that I was really love and I was really passionate about, you know, not only just in the classroom, but, you know, through the coaching, the sports was so important to me that it was a career that can very quickly take over your life, right? There's a lot of giving. It would be easy where weeks were 60, 70 hour weeks during busy coaching season. So in some ways I was giving a lot to other people's kids, which that is the nature of the job, but it was taking energy and focus away from my kids, which part of me leaving, what a big reason of me leaving was just I needed to shift the focus back to them.
Interesting. That's a cool dynamic that you just portrayed there, because I'm sure a lot of other people who may listen to this may have friends who are teachers, who are in the industry, maybe have some of that similar struggle and, you know, can kind of find some solace hearing this, because it's like, oh, you know, I'm not the only one that's going through this. So you mentioned some tools and things that you picked up over the time talking with about 14 to 18 year old, I guess, teenagers. I know hormones are raging, it's going out of control. And, you know, just like you, I made some crazy decisions back then that are, you know, pretty crazy. I look back and I'm like, why did I do that? So for sure, there are those moments. But you mentioned tools, and I want to unpack that a little bit. What are some things that are really, really sticking out to you when you talk to these individuals? Like, is there familiarity with, you know, dealing things with having gone through yourself as a man growing up? And then, you know, is it, you know, gender based or anything like that? Like, you know, talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you're uncovering there.
Yeah. So teaching, what allowed me to thrive as a teacher and a coach was I placed a high value on relationships. Part of why that was so important to me was I actually didn't enjoy school very much growing up. It was just something that I was a bit of a resistor for better lack of term. So I didn't always enjoy being told I have to learn something because someone says it's important. I needed to feel like I needed to see the relevance. And for me, obviously being in the system that all of us have been through, the education system knows that, like anything, you come across some people that say, do as I say, not as I do. But what I found for myself was the best connections I made is when I started to find sports. For me, it was high school. And I always found that my high school teachers and coaches, my phys ed teachers, were always the ones that just really seemed to care about me, right? And it was the first time I had ever sensed a deeper connection beyond just myself as a student. So it was something that really resonated with me. And it was something that really put a fire in my belly, for better lack of term, that I really wanted to create and hold that space for my future students and athletes, was just to get to know them. Like, what makes them tick? You know, what are their interests, right? What do they want to do beyond high school? And I found that just really taking an interest, meeting them where they were, not where I expected them to be, and just taking an interest in them was a tool that, you know, transcends the classroom, right? I think of any area of life. If you take an genuine interest in getting to know someone and what makes them unique, I just feel like that's all we want to do, right? Is to feel like we're seen and heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. And making learning fun, I find that is like one of the best ways to kind of get to, you know, either any kid or even like adults too, right? Like we don't want to be bored out of our mind when we're learning something, right? And so like PE teachers were always the fun teachers, like we always go there. But what's amazing about sports though is, and I encourage a lot of like parents to put their children in sports, is because the amount of lessons that you get from team sports and like the discipline, the teamwork, and you know, learning how to fail and all these kinds of things, right? Like it's so powerful as a coaching tool, and even just watching them go through it, right? So I'm just curious, like were you in organized sports as well? Is that why the transition to like PE and then, you know, like, you know, just kind of guiding that the youth that way? Is that how you started out?
Yeah. So again, I being, you know, without getting into huge, you know, long story, you know, growing up as a first generation Chinese here in this country, I felt that I always felt like I was in that messy middle. You know, I wasn't really Chinese in the fact of I couldn't really speak. I could understand, but I wasn't fluent. So I always kind of didn't really resonate there. I didn't enjoy the math, the sciences, all those stereotypical things. But then I also looked around. I didn't have the same experiences as a lot of my other friends that I grew up with, right? Toronto was just very multicultural, just in my experiences. So I was in this messy middle. So sport for me was an outlet. It allowed me to fit in, right? Which was a big driver for me. And because I started to see some success there, right? On the football field, on the soccer field, on the ice, on rugby, it made me feel good. So again, it was just something that I just wanted to do, right? Just got sort of addicted to the success and, in all honesty, a little bit of the ego, right? Like, I mean, who doesn't like to feel, you know, like they're like, who doesn't like to be told how great they are, right? Or how good they are. So yeah, that's really how it sort of evolved for me. And then when I went to university, in all honesty, I went to Western because I wanted to continue to play football. I didn't really enjoy the school side, but in the process, I actually fell in love with kinesiology. So it kind of just, you know, sports was always kind of a tool to hook me along the way with sports.
Interesting, man. I'm seeing a lot of parallels with my brother's life, actually, in your upbringing. That's crazy. They both went to Western, grew up playing sports. He's a teacher now in PE, does like all kinds of coaching. And so I'm gonna probably send him this episode.
Okay.
No, this is all cool, man. So thanks for that, man. That was a good deep dive on, you know, kind of like, you know, what brought you to here. Cause more or less the meat and potatoes I want to talk to you actually about is like kind of coaching and things like that. But let's take a little bit of a segue before we get into that. I want to talk about your, you know, relationships with, you know, your kids, your marriage, you know. So, you know, like, how did you guys, I think your wife is named Alicia, right? So yeah. Alicia, you guys have been married 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's a long journey. How did you guys meet? Curious. How did that all happen?
So we actually worked together at one of my former schools, and both our former schools. She used to be a high school phys ed teacher as well. So we met at work. So, you know, all the things that they say you should never date a coworker, we kind of threw that out the window. So we met in 06, I think, and then started dating in 07. And really started to date and got married in 2010. So the one thing I will say that has always, of why my I don't know why she's that proverbial, she's not only my wife, she's my, you know, my best friend, my soulmate, is the fact of she has unconditionally always loved and supported me. Right. She could have walked away. You know, when we first started dating, I at times, you know, just wasn't the best guy, right? Just in terms of, you know, I was a little bit lost, right? And she never once made me feel bad for that. And she just always kept pushing me to be a little better, not in a condescending way, but just in a compassionate way where, you know, she's always just shown me what it means to, again, be unconditional in your love and support and compassion for someone you love. So that's kind of our journey, I guess, the short version.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It sounds like she possessed a very healthy femininity to her that pushed you into your purpose, your power, into wanting to dig deep and, you know, love yourself to that depth and then lead in such a way that, you know, she probably saw that in you and that potential. And, you know, most women, if they catch on, you know, they know how to push their men properly. And I'm glad to kind of see that work out for you, because most people get that part wrong. I wouldn't say wrong, it's just they get that part confused and it gets jumbled up in their mind and they don't know, you know, it becomes almost like sort of a game. But no, it's beautiful to have seen that. So what's, you know, if someone's looking at that abyss of marriage and children and things like that, what's like one thing that you could offer, you know, a young man, I guess in his 20s, let's say mid 20s, 20 to, you know, early 20s and mid 20s, he's like with his girlfriend, he's got a career, he's like staring at the abyss of marriage and children. What would you say to prepare that young man?
Probably the biggest lesson I've learned is how important it is to simply be appreciative of who you're, you know, partner is and where they are on their journey. I know in the past when I wasn't as self-aware that I used to sometimes focus on the aspects of our relationship that I didn't like. Like I kind of thought, well, I see things this way, why don't you see things? And it was almost just really combative, right? And learning to become more appreciative and just love her for all of the things that she brings to the table. Like for me, I'm a dreamer and a doer, right? Like I have big visions for my life. And she is like that rock that's always there, that is always there to support me, to support our kids, right? And just being there. So, you know, even I'm looking moving cities, right? From London to Toronto. She left a career in which, you know, I think she would have been content staying there, but just being appreciative of, hey, you know what? I have this person who I have this partner, life partner, this soulmate that, again, supports me. She's willing to take a big swing at life with me, and just appreciating her and loving her for all her great qualities, right? Mm-hmm. And just focusing on those, I feel, has been a big game changer for me. So that's what I would recommend any of them, is love your partner where they're at and appreciate all the great things about them.
Man, that's huge. I'm glad that you said that, because there's a lot of confusion with men out there who think that women should think the way that we do. And it's like really ruining your relationships. And I was there too. Don't get me wrong. I was there too. I'm not trying to like, you know, bash anyone. Listen, I was there too. I'm sure every man has kind of felt this journey as well in their marriage or even in a long-term relationship. You know, meeting the person where they're at is super important. You know, even as a man, especially as a man, but you know, I'll digress from that because, you know, that was just beautiful how you said it. So guys, there you go. And I'm sure you have more nuggets of wisdom like that too. And we'll talk about how we can get people involved with that, because I think what you're doing in your Facebook group is amazing. So let's talk a little bit about the coaching side. You mentioned you were, I guess, a football coach. You did some track coaching as well. And all these lessons, obviously, you know, they keep coming back probably in your own life, or maybe even when you're parenting as well too, right? Let's talk about some of these lessons, I guess, you know, or tools that, you know, I guess we can open up that toolbox again, you know, or some lessons, you know, that you've really, really found that is going to help people with, you know, either with children, because that's important. That's an important relationship. But even like somebody who's in a cohabiting relationship as well, like they live with their wife, you know, like they're always together. This quarantine is definitely bringing a lot of challenges for a lot of people. So what are some things that they can ease a home into a happier home, and some things that maybe they can actionably do today to get out there and start trying?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. For me, probably, and it's interesting that you talked about this coaching and parenting. I have just found in my own life that once I started to get some alignment between the values and or rules or expectations I had for myself at home or with my kids, as soon as I started aligning them with the ones that I had with my students and athletes, I felt like life just became a lot easier, right? It's not like you're trying to live with one set of expectations here and another one there. So for me, again, it's all about simplicity, right? Simple, let's keep it simple. For me, one of the things that, whether it's my athletes, students, whether it's my kids, one thing we always talk about is a plus one mindset. So plus one obviously pays homage and gives reference to myself as a football coach, right? That is a part of me that was a great experience, allowed me to, again, work with lots of different people and gain a lot of insight into me. So what I always talk about plus one is that in any situation in life, and I say this to my kids, the only thing you can actually control, and I think with everything going on right now, it's a great reminder, is putting forth your best effort and best attitude. Okay. So just by focusing on that, it always puts the locus of control on us to show up to the best of our ability. And why I have found it so powerful is it just gives us that sense of control, because from my experience, especially working in the education industry, we are taught that to look outside of us for external measures of judging how we're doing, right? If I'm just looking at it from school, it's a mark on a test, right? Or once we get into the work world, it's the number of zeros on our paycheck, or it's like the number of likes in our personal life on a social media post. So I find whenever you focus back on plus one, so best effort, best attitude, that it just, again, reminds us gives us a sense of control. The athletes, I really went at that the last few years, and I found, success with our athletes in terms of maximizing their skills and talents. And with my kids, it's teaching them, sort of filling in some of the gaps that I know that we miss in the education system. So I'll give you an example. My son definitely is a bit more of a people pleaser. So he likes to make his teacher happy. So I find that just going back to this best effort and attitude, that it's just teaching him to look within himself, right? And be happy that if he does that, that's all mom and dad ever care about. So that's definitely one thing I talk about a lot with best effort and attitude. And the other one would just be this idea of hitting pause and slowing down, right? We live in a world that, busy is a badge of honor. But again, from my own experience, that when we sort of force ourselves at times to just hit pause, to slow down, to take a few breaths, that is always powerful, because again, it gives us a sense of control. And two, it just it allows us to spread out that emotion action gap, and then it just allows us to be a little bit more intentional and more responsive with our actions, and just making sure that our actions are aligned with where we say we want to go. So those are probably the two big things that I talk a lot about with my community, with my former students and athletes, or even my kids.
Yeah, those are very big, tons of nuggets in there. I picked up so many of them, just two. Way to be humble. But yeah, there was tons of nuggets in there for sure. Even just the action, emotion action gap. That's so super important as young emotional creatures of that we are. It's such an important thing for young people to figure out the gap principle. And in Buddhism, they call it the gap principle, where it's like, okay, there's the emotion, there's a gap, and then a reaction. But most people, it's just emotion and reaction. It's like there's no time to think, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure we've all been there. That's incredible. I wanted to just dive in a little bit more on the missing pieces in education. So you've seen a lot. You mentioned a lot about how, there's some gaps in the education system that maybe a hole for other parents, and they may not see it. They're thinking, oh, you know what? The education system is perfectly fine. They're raising my kids right. I don't need to do anything else, and anything else is not my duty. So they take no responsibility, right? So let's take some of that responsibility, give it to these parents. What are some things that they can proactively do that their teachers are probably not giving them inside of their schools?
Yeah, no, and that's, I think a big one. And again, I've had experience teaching at three different schools, right, and coaching. So I've seen kind of a wide range of working with students that couldn't wait to be done school and wanted no part of it. And then again, I've been there, I've done that. But I've also been in school settings where it's super academic, it's super athletic focused. Like excellence is like, if you're not first, you're last, like that idea. One thing that definitely would be very beneficial for any parent is to focus on process instead of the end result. Again, in education, typically our barometer of success is marks, right? Like 0 to 100, whatever, you know, again, the closer I am to 100, that's how successful I am. But I always found it's difficult because yes, our goal is to get to 100, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's progressive. It can go up or down. Where parents would really benefit is looking at this idea of those learning skills, right? So there's learning skills within there against initiative, right? Daily effort and all these, you know, quote unquote, soft skills that we talk about, but just getting the students to realize that yes, the end mark is great, but how did we get there, right? Is this mark a reflection of what your best effort and attitude should be? Because for me, I look at it as an educator, and this is where by the end of my career, I didn't really care. Like I was very open with my students and said, if you are willing to do everything I ask, I don't care if I'll give all of you 100, like it's all arbitrary, but you got to be willing to do the work. And I find just there, like, again, going back to those ideas of, you know, consistently putting in your best effort and attitude, right? So don't just look at the test. What did we do to get 98 on the test? Were we reviewing our notes every day? Were we going to class and really listening to what the teacher had to say? When the teacher gave us opportunities to do, you know, assignments, are we putting forth our best effort? So those are definitely like obviously focusing on the process as opposed to the end result, putting more of an emphasis on that. The challenge with that though, Rob, in all honesty, is there's no part of the system that values that as much, right? Because to get into if you're in grade 9 math, to get into academic, you need a certain mark, right? And then you fast forward all the way to university or college, right? Marks are the be all end all. So it's kind of like that one where it's not really emphasized as much in the system. It's important, but we need to place a higher value on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure, man. I love that.
Yeah. The other one simply would be finding opportunities, and where I always found it very relevant was making connections to real life. Like we are in a day and age where students, they don't need us for information anymore, right? Like this thing, they have more power in their hands right there than Bill Clinton did his last year in office as the president of the US. So they don't need us. Where we can really help them though is giving them context, right? So let's apply this to their life, find opportunities to do that more. And without getting to a large degree, again, I could give you lots of examples, but I just found whenever students saw how it was meaningful and relevant to their life, they always bought in, right? Because it's fun. Like you said, learning's fun. When learning is fun, that's where the magic happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone who's listening, from what I got that as parents is like, you know, I think whatever situation that your school or that your kid's school is in, whether it be ranked, you know, based on excellence and this and rah, 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 go, 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 you know, just gauge where your children is kind of like lacking or missing, right? Like it's always going to be a case-by-case scenario from what I'm understanding. And because no school is ever built the same, and obviously all teachers are built. And what I love about that at the end was you're just like, F this, you know what? I'm gonna give you guys a little taste of, you know, just JT over here, just like life coach, not teacher kind of thing. So, and I love that. It's what kids are dying and thirsting for, right? Like you said, if you make it fun, it makes it such a warm environment for them to, you know, perk their ears up and then, you know, kind of cross their legs and kind of look up and really just take that mentor servant kind of role that we were all accustomed to doing since, you know, the long ages ago, right? Like there was this idea where we respected our elders, but we lose a lot of that. And, you know, the context is so important because experience, right? That's what these kids don't have. When you tell them, hey, this is what I've gone through in my life because of my stupidity or these mistakes or these things with my blind spots or whatever, it helps you, you know, it attaches it to their life. It makes it real, like you said. And so that's the gold in that. So I'm just reiterating everything you said, man. And like I said, I'm loving all of what you put out there. And so I don't want to give it all away. Yeah, I mean, you've given us a lot already. So let's take you to a part of the show where we can get to know you personally a little bit. And we're going to ask you 5 random questions. It's just rapid fire, you know, think about whatever comes to mind and, you know, it'll be fun. So okay. You ready for that?
I'm always game. All right.
If you could be any animal in the world, what animal would you be and why?
I would be a lion. And do you need a reason why, or do you just want the answer?
Yeah, we want to know why.
I just love how methodical they are, right? Like they don't get rattled easily, and they just, when they want to go out and hunt, they go out and hunt. When they want to just sit there and sleep and rest, they just sleep and rest. So I just love that they're very present animals to me. Right? They focus on one thing and they do think that one thing really well.
I love that, man. Is there a favorite book that you have, or is there something that you're reading that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, for me right now, I'll be honest with you, I have made the conscious decision to not read as much, but to go a little bit deeper. So sort of in theory, go an inch wide, a mile deep. So right now I've really been cutting down the amount I listen to, just because I find in personal growth and self-development, there's kind of like this pressure sometimes to just read and consume and consume and consume. But to me, I'm, you know, I just felt I'm at a point where I just need to listen and listen well. So right now I'm just going back to the basics, listening to Think and Grow Rich right now. I've listened to the audiobook numerous times. I've read the book, but I just felt, you know, I just want to go back to basics, go to a classic and just really focus on that, just because I love just what it puts into my head and just the mindset and the energy state I get into listening and reading that.
Yeah, I can't count how many times I've listened or read that book. It's definitely good to go back to the basics for sure. Appreciate that answer. Is there a place that, so after quarantine, obviously, is there a place that you have in mind that you want to go to? You mentioned you were in Southeast Asia, but like, if you know, when all this is over, if you could just snap your fingers, hop on a plane, go anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
I want to take my beautiful wife to the Maldives and just for a husband and wife trip, and just, you know, stay at one of those huts on the water and just, again, just slow down and just enjoy the beach, the sun, and just again appreciate, hey, that I get to share my life with again an unconditionally loving and supportive woman.
That's awesome. We've come full circle there on that one. Awesome. Yeah. We're manifesting. For sure. Is there someone who you would like to have a conversation with or have dinner with who has passed away? It doesn't have to be a famous celebrity. It could be someone in your family, someone who's passed away. Who would it be and why?
I would really love to be able to have a conversation with my grandfather, so my mom's dad. They lived with us growing up, so we were a multi-generational household. In all honesty, so I think I sort of took them for granted. It wasn't really as much like a typical or you know, stereotypical like grandson, like he was always there. But everything I've heard from my, and he passed away in 03. So he's been gone for almost 20 years. But everything that my mom and my aunts tell me is that he's very, that a lot of my traits are like him. And I'm sorry, I'm starting to get choked up a little bit, but I would just love for to be able to sit down with him and to be able to show him the man I've become. Because I just, when he passed, I didn't have things, and it's not that I was at a bad point, but I would just love for him to be able to sit down with him for an hour and just see, let him be proud of who his grandson's become.
Yeah, man, I definitely feel for you on that one for sure. When I think back on my own experiences, I can definitely feel eye to eye on that one. So. That's a beautiful answer, man. I appreciate that one. And the last question of the random five, do you have any weird eating habits? Do you ever get called out at the dinner table for anything? Like, I mean, I get some weird ones, but, you know, you tell me.
I don't know if I have any weird habits. I definitely like to compartmentalize. So I'm, you know, I sort of this principle where I always, so I build my plate to where half of it is vegetables, at least a quarter of it is a protein source, so plant-based or meat, and then a quarter of it's like some sort of grain. So I always go vegetables and fruit, then protein, then carbohydrate. So again, I've done some reading on that's the way men should eat because we naturally crave protein, so the vegetables, and I've had to learn how to enjoy vegetables. But yeah, so I don't know, I'm kind of black and white there, but I find like, again, it's just those, I like that simple rule, right? Like, it's just like, okay, and just go. Yeah. I don't know if that's weird, but.
No, that's definitely weird for sure. But I mean, you know, we all have our own things, and that's the thing about the beauty of that, right? So yeah. That's the beauty of that question. I love it. It's goofy. But appreciate that, man. I appreciate all the vulnerability that you took on answering that. And, you know, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, actually. You know, when we first connected, I apologize that, you know, there was some miscommunication on our side, but, you know, judging from, you know, the character that you put out there and how strong of a leader and mentor and coach that you actually are, it continues to amaze me. So I'm glad to have you kind of on the show and being able to kind of dive deep on your own personal experiences, your mind, and I appreciate you for coming on the show. And I'm going to be supporting you, man, and kind of like a cheerleader, but not, you know. We're gonna take you to before we take you to the last part of the show, where we dive in on heartbreak, on question about heartbreak. Where can people get a hold of you? Are you offering something for us to kind of scoop up? Where are you hanging out? Let us know, man.
Okay. I'm definitely I am most active on Facebook. That is where I every week in our online community and the Win Each Day community, I am doing a Chalk Talk, which is just as a Facebook Live where I'm doing more of a deep dive onto some of the stuff around mindset, but relating it back to, you know, health, wellness, our relationships. So I'm doing that once a week. I do two posts as well. You can catch the two posts. I am also on Instagram. Okay, with the two posts, the difference is you just don't have access to the Chalk Talk. But everything is on my Instagram, on my bio. And then there's a link tree there where they can click it, and then they can join the Win Each Day, the main group, which again, I'm on there 3 days a week. There's a Win Each Day Insiders if they want more, Chalk Talk or Facebook Chalk Talk, which is my Facebook Live. Yeah, and that's probably the easiest way to connect with me and just send me a message, and always up for meeting new people and just having a conversation and doing a deep dive into whatever.
Yeah, man, for sure. Appreciate that. If you guys are watching here on YouTube, it's on the bottom screen. It's at win_each_day, Win Each Day. It's Coach JT. And then I'll post up all of the links in the show notes. You guys can get to his groups, actually, the Win Each Day group, and then you can listen to the Chalk Talks that he has. I love that name because it's like football coach, you know, like Chalk Talk. Like, it just makes so much sense. So I love that marketing. But yeah, definitely get in on that. All those links will be in the show notes. Again, I appreciate you for coming on the show. I'm going to take you to the last question of the day. It's centered around heartbreak, man. And, you know, a lot of people find me after divorce, separation, a heartbreak, basically anything and everything that can destroy a person. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that they're there, but sometimes they just need a little pick me up. And so is there something that you could say to somebody who's going through that right now?
Well, it's interesting, Rob, that you asked me that question, because I had a conversation with Alicia about it. Actually, Alicia is my ended up being my second wife, and that's something I haven't really shared too much publicly. So I've been there. I've been through those, you know, those tough times where you're kind of picking up the pieces of your life. And, you know, what I would always do is, you know, give yourself permission to experience whatever's coming up, right? Whatever those feelings and emotions are, whether they're sadness, whether they're anger, and just, you know, not running away from, but just realize it is, you know, you're dealing with a sense of loss, right? Like losing someone in a relationship, whether through breakup or them passing away or whatever, I mean, there has to be that bit of grief. So just, you know, not running away from those feelings and not, you know, trying to, you know, I think of mine, not trying to drink them away or eat them away or do anything, but just, you know, they're part of the human experience. But with that being said, celebrate opportunities to create small wins for yourself. So, you know, if, you know, I've had times in my life where I struggled to get out of bed, right? Like physically, I couldn't get out of bed. But, you know, if it's, you're having one of those days, maybe just getting up and brushing your teeth and getting some water in your face and celebrating that, right? Maybe it's just getting out for a 5-minute walk, or just, you know, putting on some clothes, or just moving your body. So just really doing your best to find opportunities just to swing momentum a little bit, just so that you feel a little bit better. Because like anything, time will pass. Time does heal all wounds, and brighter days are ahead.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Beautiful, my man. JT, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Really appreciate it. Loved having this conversation.